take a copy of the Word and turn to James, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. After hearing last week of the great need of those who are saved by faith, then produce good works from that faith that we have, he now continues talking about those good works and how we ought to live for Christ and for the Lord. James chapter 3. This is the word of our God. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are all so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue, as is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That is the word of our God. May he add his blessing to us as we hear. Chapter 3 focuses our attention on the tongue, though it be a small part of the body as it's compared to a ship's rudder, and even the bit in the horse's mouth that leads them. And yet, our tongue boasts of great things. And how many times have you sinned or gotten yourself into trouble because of your tongue? Or how many times have you boasted upon men or upon yourself or upon something you did? And beloved, for us as Christians, verse 9, we see that we bless our Lord and Father, and then in the very next moment we curse men, or we curse God. Even through our actions. The Lord, through James, is communicating to you that it should not be this way. Not for the Christian. Not for the one who has true faith. Because you who have true faith ought to be producing good works. Godly works. And so the one who has been brought out of death, you aren't to speak dead types of words. Dead words, vain words, curse words. Rather, we, having been made in the image of God, are called to speak in a manner that would imitate Jesus Christ. That our words would be filled with God's word. That our words would overflow with joy and praise to the Lord. We'll learn more about that this evening in Ephesians. Then in verses 13 through 18, it contrasts the earthly wisdom with heavenly wisdom. You notice that this wisdom is not defined often how we think of wisdom as knowledge. It's not defined like that. It's defined as what you do. It's defined in how you live. That's what godly, true wisdom is. It's applying God's word to your life. That's wisdom. And so we see here that the wisdom of the world is what? Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, arrogance. The wisdom of that type is earthly, natural, and demonic, it says. Or rather, heavenly wisdom looks like this. It's pure, peaceable, it's reasonable, full of mercy, it's full of good fruits, it's unwavering and without hypocrisy. Heavenly wisdom, how we live our lives coming, is how we ought to live our lives coming forth and from Christ, from our faith in Christ. It's worked in us by His Spirit and grown in us by the Word, which is why we're here. Or one of the reasons why we're here. To grow. So let us, if we're to shape our tongue and grow in heavenly wisdom, that we continue putting our focus on His Word and upon His worship as we gather even now. That we even now, we should plead for not only understanding, but wisdom. And not only to speak well, but our heart to be changed so that we will speak well. And glorifying things to Him. So let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your perfect Word. It often brings to us encouragement, and yet often it also brings discouragement over our sin. And yet we have Christ who's paid the penalty of our sin, and so it brings us back to encouragement, and we are trained in righteousness. We pray that we would be trained. Even through the working and sanctification of our heart, that we would speak words which would glorify You, that it would not curse You or curse men, but that in everything we say it would be used to edify and encourage and praise Your name and give thanksgiving to Your name. We pray that through our tongue, which can be a fire, we pray that that You would calm our tongue. Give us self-control. Cause our tongues only to speak words of kindness and love, even if that might be Your word of rebuke. I pray that You would give us also wisdom, true godly wisdom, that as we come here each Lord's Day and we hear Your word, that You would use Your word and apply it to our hearts, and that from that You would cause us to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, that we would be holy, and that we would be sanctified and cleansed of our sin, that we would be these people who are pure and peaceable and full of mercy, that we would be not hypocrites, although we acknowledge that we are in our sin. We pray that You would make us not these things, cause us not to live according to the wisdom of the world, rather that we would lift up even with our tongue and be wise in this, our prayers to You and calling out to You for help in a time of need, that You would shed upon us and shower us with Your grace. And that's why we come to Your throne. And we call upon You to answer our prayers. We offer up many prayers each week, and we ask that You would answer them all according to Your will. We pray this morning for John's mother and for his daughters, that they would overcome their sickness or their pain that they have. And we pray that You would continually heal them as You've already started to do. We thank You for that. And we pray for Karen and her knee that she had surgery on, that You would heal that knee so it would perhaps even be better than it was prior. And there would be no pain. Pray that You would give her strength and energy as she is in her rehabilitation, we know can be very difficult. And we also pray for Kara, why she's not here. We pray that she's presumably sick, and we pray that You would heal her body and strengthen her. As we pray for Bob and Marie and Sharon and others, even Dina, for strength and the baby in the womb, we pray that You would strengthen these people as You have strengthened all of us. And You would strengthen us not only in our bodies, but our souls, that we would be enabled by Your Spirit to worship You, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name, the Son. Amen.